Oh, were you the one who told me to watch Severance?
I might have, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have.
Finished it?
Yeah.
I watched it. I finished it.
When's season two Apple TV?
My God.
I mean, they obviously there's a
season one so great.
It could have just ended there.
For those who don't know, Severance, it's probably out, been out for, hopefully season two is out by the time you guys see this.
It's writer strike.
It's a great thing about like work-life balance. That's all I'm going to say, Black Mirror-esque. Wow. It's a
gorgeous great movie.
Great,
and like,
great concept.
Yeah, it was me, because I was like, oh, Ben Stiller directed it. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that man can direct.
Yeah. There's so many random appearances, like Christopher Walken in there. I'm like, hey.
You're like, what? Yeah. Oh, what a terrific, terrific.
And we were talking about Step Bros the other day, and that guy, that main guy is the Dick brother.
Yes, Step Bros. Adam Scott.
Yeah, Adam Scott.
He looks so young in Step Brothers compared to like his gaunty older self in Severance.
Yep.
He had the perfect face,
man,
in Severance. Like, perfect this face. Guy does not like his work, his job.
Oh, speaking of that episode we did, well, last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever one it was, I remembered what I wanted to tell you.
What did you want to tell me?
You were talking about photography and carrying around like a big camera and how people like shy up or tense up a little bit.
Yeah, they change or they put a mask on.
So I was listening to some of these photographers in an interview, and they were talking about how these are world traveling photographers, how they can't bring these big cameras into like certain villages or something like that, because people just like trip out.
Yes.
But now, since phones are getting good, Androids, Apple, they can use those and still get this crazy quality that they want, and people don't feel as alarmed.
Right, because it's so normal.
And what's the next wave of that is like movies are going to be shot. People are like, Apple's already trying to push people in that way, but like, the more, that's what I'm talking about. When we're talking about social media and we're like, use your phone and get used to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the wave.
Uh-huh.
It's the wave. I trust me, I want a nice camera too, and I want stuff, but I'm like, hey, it can do everything for me.
It really depends on where you want it to be, like what the destination is. Meaning like, if it's going to be IMAX, obviously you better be shooting with the IMAX film.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I feel like yes to what you're saying, because most people consume video media through what? Their phones.
Their phones.
So shoot it on your phone.
Or your computer.
yeah, exactly, right? Like, you're not going to go watch a YouTube video unless you're at VidCon, in a cinema.
Yeah.
So why are you going to put money in like renting an Arri or a Red?
Why complicate it?
Why complicate it? Yeah, going back to our one of our previous podcast episodes. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm David Morales, our active poet.
And where can we find you?
Active poet everywhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah. At active poet. You can find me everywhere.
My name is Tossie Alabastro, and you can find me at Tossie Alabastro pretty much everywhere.
And this is our podcast,
Art Time Job. A working podcast for a podcast,
yeah. Artist,
a support podcast for working and aspiring artists by us, working artists.
Hopefully, will inspire you. Besides what we were talking about earlier, this episode is going to be about validation.
Like this episode,
share it, because we need the validation for this.
When was the last time you went looking for actively went looking for validation?
Definitely recently.
Okay.
Was
it related to music, acting,
media? Yeah, you know what? Actually, yes. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay. Yeah. Recently, for music, because I've been getting back into music.
Yeah.
Hopefully by this time you guys watch this, that or listen to this, I'll have a lot more music out. But I spent a lot of time taking off music, and there's that weird thing, if you take time off from your art, you question if you're still if you're still good. You're out of the pocket a little bit, and you don't trust your instrument a little bit. So I was in a recording session, writing session with my friend Austin Dean Ashford. Shout out Austin. And he was just coming up with lyrics so quick. He's a quick writer. I've never been that quick of a writer. I can come up with melodies really quick, but like when it comes to the words, I'm like, and he was so quick. So I was just like trying to write and keep up with him. And then he was like recording it really quick. And I was like, and I kept on like coming up with stuff And he was giving me validation. So I was like, oh, this stuff must be good, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like asking him, like, what do you think? You know? And mm-hmm. he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause he was like, when you're in that moment,
he's you amping
know,
you up.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's there,
yeah, like, yeah. Yeah.
I trust it. You trust it. Let's get it. You know? Uh-huh. And then looking back after, I was like, that was not good for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I was like using his validation to steer me in a direction that, like, not saying it was a bad direction. Sure. Like, I love that. You usually don't get that when you're creating art, you know?
Right.
Somebody's right there with you, be like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hype person.
I didn't, like, yeah. Yeah. But I was definitely seeking his approval. Can you imagine that? And the producer's.
Yeah,
opinion. But can you imagine what?
Can you like just doing like rehearsal, literally just a rehearsal, and you've got hype people around you, not all the director.
Time. Yeah,
just like you know, make a bold choice, and you're like, yeah.
They're just
and you're like, all the time. Sorry, the scene's not done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there like a Jordan Peele sketch like
the yeah, the hype man? The hype
he's, man. Like, he's like a raptor. He's like.
He's like, bro, just
chill. I don't finish yet.
Man. So. All right, so what did you pick up on the fact that like, oh, I was looking for that validation, or like, how did you feel either way?
I think I just entrust my process of myself and like where I usually create and enjoy my creation.
Okay.
So like, I kind of just went off like, he's writing fast, I'm gonna write fast, and it's gonna be the same.
Is that a competitive thing, or was that just a?
It's definitely a competitive thing, because like, you know, art is my sport. You know, I treat it like that.
Yeah.
But
you get your reps in for sure.
But music is a beautiful thing. Of like, it doesn't have to be done that day.
Yeah.
You can always come back to it. You know, it's not live theater. It's not like you have to perform it today.
Yeah. I mean, we rehearse. So
of course. Or it's not improv in the way.
Sure.
So, for me, it was cool to have that experience and know like, oh. To become a faster writer, or to become faster at anything, really, is just to do it more. So you can actually contribute more and not question yourself in those moments.
I was just listening to, why can't I remember his name? Producer, Big Beard, Rubin? No.
Oh, Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. Yeah. He was talking about Jay-Z and Eminem and like how completely different their process.
Yeah.
He's like, I never saw M once without his notepad. He was always writing. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And he was saying like, yeah, he said like 99% of what he writes isn't going to end up in an album. But he writes stuff down so that when he is like in a flow state, it comes to him more naturally.
I love that.
And that's that thing of like, why do we do repetition work, right? So that when the time comes, it just subconsciously appears. Mm-hmm. You're not having to like think of it. And it's like, yeah. And then like Jay-Z would just kind of, you know, yeah, in the corner, mumble back, yeah. And then he just come up with like the craziest bars that's like complex, and you know, like,
and have it memorized, like,
yeah, and have it memorized. Like, how, I mean, obviously, that's just different ways our brain thinks, yeah. But at the core of that is that sense of like, how do you practice that?
Yeah,
because they've had to some degree, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, being in it, the longer you're in it. The less you have to seek external validation.
Well, and that's really hard. So what then? This is a question.
You're just asking me questions. All right.
This is an episode of just me asking Dav questions.
All right.
Just so I can avoid having to answer validating questions. He's gonna get me. No, but so how do you remain in a practice state if you're a type of person who seeks validation? And this is a question for the both of us, I'm guessing, because
you're gonna answer this for sure.
Yeah. I don't have
I'll give you an answer.
Okay, go for it.
Give me an answer. I think number one, trusting your why. Why are you doing it in the first place?
I hate you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love you too.
That's such a great answer.
There's a quote. I'm sure Russ took it from somebody, but I heard it in a Jay Shetty podcast.
Okay.
And it was, it was know your why, trust your what, ignore the when. You know?
www.arttimejobpodcast.com. Wow, that's Balls, so good.
Always. You know, because like,
so reiterate, or sorry, not, repeat that again. For the people in the back.
Know your why.
Okay.
Trust the what.
Okay.
Ignore the when.
And who said this? Russ?
I heard Russ say it, but I'm sure he quoted it from someone else. Or I'll give Russ his flowers if he's the one who said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
But I think with everything we're doing, especially being an artist, I think the more time you spend doing it, the more you can trust yourself and not expect that from anyone else. Because, yeah, man, when I'm writing every day, I'm so much more in the pocket, no matter what aspect of the art I'm in. You know, sometimes when I'm writing every day and I'm with the Bay Area Theater Cypher people and we have to freestyle, I notice, oh, I've practiced using these rhyme words so much that things flow a little bit easier.
I see.
You know, so it funnels everything else. The longer you're in it, the more you step away from it. Mm-hmm. Naturally, it's like warming up. It's like any other thing that we do, like you're a little rusty. Mm-hmm. So I see the more you stay in it, the less you'll be worried about other people. And I think taking yourself away from expectations is key towards any aspect of success. So like, why are you doing it, Tossy?
That's great. Wow.
No, you answered the question. I'm not asking why you're doing it, Tossy.
There was a variety roundtable, you know, Variety, the company, whatever the brand. They have an artist roundtable talk.
Oh, with all the actors and stuff?
Yes. And I love those. Sometimes with directors, actors, whatever. But there was one with Tom Hanks. And he was talking about This Too Shall Pass.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like,
man, I'm feeling real crappy today. You know, I'm not sure of myself. This Too Shall Pass. Oh, I know all the answers. People love me. All that. This Too Shall Pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way they edited that clip, they as he was saying that, they went to different actors around the table. And you could see that each one of them had struggled with something like, Shia LaBeouf is one of them, right? Jamie Foxx is one of them. Mm-hmm. And just to see them acknowledge that, wow, that really, that's true. Mm-hmm. So like that X factor that we talked about is time. Mm-hmm. And recently, you know, I was talking to you about like, man, I feel like I have no motivation to do anything.
Yeah.
Because all I want to do is that one thing, but I'm denied it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what am I combating right now? And it's that sense of, I have all the time, well, unless I die, when that happens.
But as of right now, you have the same amount of time as Beyonce today.
That's always back to Queen Bee.
Bring it back there.
But yeah, it's that thing of like, what I learned in this past period of time, and what I continue to learn is like, oh good, I'm not the type of person to actively seek out validation.
That's good.
But I do, and the reason I asked you is I do want to understand, and I asked you not because I think you are that way, but just as a, you know, another person in the room, why, like, what do you do if you are the type of person to want to seek validation, and like, how do you identify that, like, oh wow, you know, like there's people who are people pleasers, but they don't know that until either they have a real good homie that says, slow down, you're a people pleaser. Yeah.
Sorry.
What?
It's a Bay Area song that you said, slow down, grab the wall. I don't want to sing.
Oh, I seen.
You know that song. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you have somebody who's there to be like, yo, you're doing things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I definitely used to be a people pleaser.
Okay.
And I think on set, you know, it's hard being an actor.
Yeah.
And I think you're better at this than I am. I want the director's approval, but I always have to remind myself, I got the job already. Yeah, I'm already it.
That's the what. I mean, that's the what, right? Like we talked about earlier. What was it? Remember the why.
Yeah. Know your why.
Know your why.
Trust the what.
Trust the what. So that's you trusting the what. Yeah. I'm already here.
I already got the job. Like the hard work was auditioning to get this, but now I'm already here.
Yeah. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They fire you? that's a different topic.
I mean, yeah, I've never been fired on the job. Thank goodness. Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of the big actors, if we're talking about acting specifically, have been fired.
Yeah.
In various ways, right? And that's just the nature of that business.
Once again, it's not them.
Mm-hmm. Because
I heard like the Back to the Future, like Michael J. Fox was the second person.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it is like that sometimes. But yeah, like trusting yourself enough that like your choices are great, mm-hmm. and the director is going to help you mm-hmm. in that way, and not be like, I don't know if you're the right person anymore. It's like, uh-huh. no, they already see it in you.
Yeah.
You're already it.
Yeah.
We'll just guide it, you know, to where it wants to be.
But although yeah, that can... happened to, there's another podcast I'll shout out called Dead Eyes. Oh. Did I tell you about this podcast? Nope. It's this actor, comedian person who, in their early 20s, I think, I want to say, when they just graduated from college. He's an American guy studying in the UK, just graduated. He gets a call back to Band of Brothers.
Okay.
And for all intents and purposes, he's got the role. Just a bit role, but, you know, there's a lot of great roles in that show. And he gets a call from his agent, I think, or the casting director is like, hey, Tom Hanks would really like to like meet you and like do the just read again. And he's like, what? That's odd.
To Tom Hanks. Two story, two Tom.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep going.
And wow, I didn't realize that. And long story short, he does it. He meets Tom because we're first name basis.
Yeah, of course.
He meets Tom. He does his read. Tom goes, ah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's it. Right, you know, whatever. He doesn't. He gets unhired from the job because apparently he had dead eyes, meaning his screen test, like
right,
he had dead eyes. And so his podcast is that journey of like, what did he mean? I love Tom Hanks, but what did he mean? And so how it haunted him, and then it's so fascinating because he has people as guests, and. Yeah, they just kind of talk about that. One of his guests is actually John Hamm. Hmm. Because they had done a show together when they were in college.
I bet.
It was so crazy. It was like, what? Of all the people.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you get a chance, I know I'm like, you know, promoting another podcast, but
we're here to uplift people. We were talking about this earlier. There's enough space.
There's enough space, yeah. But it's a fantastic one of like, what happens when like to validate your people pleaser / like your validation runs dry or you're not strong enough to push forward.
Part of me feels like it's part of everyone's journey. Like I always hope no one has to hit rock bottom before they go up, you know, and you don't have to go through all the struggles that like all of us have as artists. And hopefully you guys can bypass a lot of the learning curves that we had to go through. But at one point I was for sure making music that I thought other people wanted to hear.
Oh, wow.
I remember I had a great time first getting into hip hop, just rapping over common instrumentals. Mm-hmm. Not the artist common, some common, but I'm saying like, just like a lot of popular instrumentals and stuff that I like. Cause I always loved underground, soul sample, hip hop. Like I always was writing to that, but it would only take me to open mics.
Mm.
Nobody wants to dance to that. And where are most people at the clubs?
Nobody wants to dance to that.
You know, people want to listen to the car. So how do you find the homebodies like us, you know, to get the music out to?
You got
to
get Will I Am.
You do got to go. You got to go John Hamm to like get it, you know? So I started collaborating with my good friend Will, goes by Wooshay. And we were making more upbeat hip hop / some dancey house music so I could perform with him at the clubs. So I was trying to do that, but at a good amount of the time I just wasn't resonating with the music I was making as much. I was like, this is hype and I feel like it's what I'm supposed to be doing rather than what I want to be doing.
Wow. Because which is storytelling.
Yeah. And I enjoyed performing because it was always bigger crowds than what I would get
right
at open mics. But at the same time I was like, this is not the music I actually want to make.
Is there footage of course Dov active poet at an open mic? I want to see
it's I'm gonna give you guys, I think I said this in an earlier podcast, but if you go on my page and you scroll all the way down, you'll find videos of my old rap name Duke Fresh at Iguanas and at like Deanza's open mics, you know, just like,
oh, that's so great.
Yeah,
that's
bro,
so great.
I'm a big fan of like keeping that stuff up because I want people to see once I reach the superhero level that people are like, man, he was once human. You know, like everyone's been there.
You can do it.
And it takes
time. If I can do it, you can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want people to see that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of documenting because of that.
But I definitely think the self-validation and then validation from others is part of the process, especially in the business we are, where like we are being critiqued all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's part of the process.
Well, okay, so you bring up critique. And so at this stage, do you think there's a difference between validation and critique?
Yeah, totally. Because like I take constructive feedback, and I've also have grown so much in my life that I used to get like 99 lovely comments and then one negative one, and just focus on like, why did that one person not like it?
That's a lifelong trip right there, isn't
it? You know?
Yeah.
But now I'm like more in like, 99 people like this. That's not for me. I don't know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you didn't like it, but look at all these people who like. And
right.
I can just focus on them, you know? And also shout out myself, be like, I knew it was a good idea. Like, I just give myself thanks, you know? Rather than be like, I'm on top of the world.
What did Snoop Dogg say? I want to thank me.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, yeah, that's legit. That's legit. Yeah. Thank you.
I love that clip.
I showed up for me. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. People laugh, but it's such a strong, like.
It is.
Yeah.
Self-love.
You show up that day and you validate your own experience. And that's even stronger than, I think, getting externally.
Do you have any moments that you've.
Yeah. I have actively sought validation.
I love that I didn't finish that and you knew where I was going.
Yeah. Go. I was dreading it.
Yeah, you were like,
I think when it comes to acting or acting on stage, I haven't really
ever.
No. I did early days. I think like you, like, am I making the best choice? I think now actually it's more of a surprise, like, oh, I get to get away with that. Okay, like, so I think it is going to be a lifelong thing. Like, I feel like in my mind I try not to. I just say the words, make a choice about it, and continue listening to the story, right in that space. But I have in some cases, if the work is new. And I guess I'll speak directly to a stage reading that I worked on not too long ago. And I knew that the director and the playwright I was working with have like a really wonderful career and are fairly established in the industry, right? And I'm just reading some lines and I'm getting laughs. And I get to parts of it where I think it's funny. And I'm not trying to be funny, obviously. I just do the lines. But I just remember my eyes darting up to see like what kind of reaction. So I think, to answer your question, I think that was a form of validation. I wasn't actively seeking it, but I was I was willing to take it in if it was there, right? I think for me, what was the biggest lesson of that, though, which I've learned many, 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 many times, but it's always worth remembering. It's like, because you don't get the response that you expect, doesn't mean you're wrong.
Agreed.
In your choice. And, you know, in that case, like, I kept that choice in there. And later, when we actually had an invited audience, they laughed at it. And so that was that moment of like, I pat myself on the back for sticking true to what I wanted to share in that part of that story. And I mentally fought for it, right? Like, I didn't have to argue with it but when we're, you know, I'll end it there as like, that was a great moment of sort of self-validation of like, keep it intact. And like, I'm not going to change it because I didn't get what I thought, you know.
Yeah,
what I expected.
I had an acting teacher, shout out Charles Carpenter, who would always ask me when I was doing a self-tape, he's like, what story do you want to tell? Because this is your audition. Like, what do you bring to the character?
Yeah.
What's the similarities to you that you can bring to this? But what story do you want to tell?
Right.
And he's like, why are they giving you these sides? What do you think they want to see? Okay. Between those two, what story do you want to tell?
I love that.
You know?
That like, question is like, here's your sides. What's the first thing you do as an actor is research, right? Like,
of course.
Why
did they give me these sets? I think they're trying to see this. Okay. Think they're trying to see that, what does Tosi bring to this?
What is your version of that?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So it makes it more like yours. All right, this is personal to me, and like, I'm going to make it personal.
Yeah.
And something else you were saying earlier that just triggered was the Dead Eyes guy. Mm. I remember performing in front of a lot of people, both on stage, theater, but also music. A lot of people have dead faces. Like, they'll intake your art like...
They're out there in front row just...
But they are not aware of their face. Mm. And at the very end, those same people will be like, oh, that was so great. And I'm like, what? Fire. I was trying to give you all my mojo in this moment, and you were just like not intaking stone any cold. Of it, you know?
Yeah, stone face.
Yeah, but I think...
I wonder if that's just like a defense mechanism.
It could be, but I also think people are just like... Because I do that. I know at concerts, I'm just like, I'm probably smiling. I'm a smiley guy. But like when I'm focused on something, like really trying to intake everything, like I'm not aware of like what my face is doing. Yeah,
because you're processing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think people are just like really enjoying. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people are haters, but some people are enjoying.
Or high AF.
You know, it's that thing that that I learned from either Janis Bergman or Tom Goff that like, the casting director and the director are always rooting for you.
Yeah.
No matter their facial expression, they're hoping you're it so they don't have to search anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
But yeah, that's a good feeling when you're like, that's the person.
Exactly. And they might be themselves trying to suppress it so they're not like showing favoritism, right, you know? Right. I can imagine like teachers do that too. They're like, I really like this person, but like, gotta make sure everyone gets the love.
I mean, that... As a facilitator for things, yeah, when you have repeat and you're like, this person has, they're just like naturally gifted. But you also be like, but this person, if you can get them there, will come the farthest.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
You were.
Oh, go ahead. You were what?
I was going to say. You were telling me that like, it's hard to translate excitement with this stuff, like your friend who was
recently met someone who had asked me a question of like, how do you navigate trying to share that career journey with a parental figure who isn't there for it, right? Whatever that means to them. And I told them like, you have to figure out how to, I mean, if you were a visual person, think of it like, I am not in front of you going, check this out.
Yeah.
Like, check this out. That's so cool, right? Instead, you are next to them with your hand on their back and you're moving them through it with you.
Yeah.
If you're not a visual person, basically what I was saying is like, find the words that bridge that gap of what they know in their own lives. Mm. And what you understand about what you're trying to do and trying to create, and find where it's exciting for both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about like them getting an opportunity to be on set and like, I get to be on set and I get to do this thing today, but they don't realize the magnitude of that.
Yeah.
They're just like,
okay, it's a warehouse.
Does that mean you're with Brad Pitt? No, but
yeah,
it's like,
exactly. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's levels that they don't see.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Like, are you with Brad Pitt? That's what they understand.
Exactly.
So
it's like transcribing or translating that for them to be right. Like, no, but Brad Pitt does go on set. He's not on this set.
Yes.
But it's like,
he does this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might have to be like, well, there's levels of like, hiring like executives and like what floor you want in this business. And right now I'm on the first floor, but I'm in the building.
Yeah. I'm in the building, baby.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the mailroom. But like, you know what comes up next, you know?
Exactly. I think it's exactly that, finding the language to, I mean, you're going back to our topic of validation, right? You're in some way validating their idea of what success looks like for them. And it sounds like a lot of work. And I'm 40 now, I feel like I don't do that work as hard anymore because I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not seeking validation from my parents about my career life choices.
Right.
What I'm looking for them is not validation. It is enjoyment of what I'm enjoying too.
If you could talk to your younger self and... If you have,
I always do.
Oh, good. If you could give yourself like tips on like not worrying about approval from others, what would you tell yourself?
I would say, hey, young buck.
Because that's how we speak to young people.
Yeah. I'd be like, happy,
what? Happy.
I would probably say God, I feel like some of that stuff came really naturally to me then, or it didn't bother me as much. So it's hard. What would I say?
If it makes it easier,
yeah,
you can talk to about somebody maybe you know in the community who you think is people pleasing and like young in their career that you're like, yo, I see what you're doing.
I did recently tell someone that I care about and who is fairly young. I told them at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. And you also have to wake up with yourself. So decide throughout the day how you want to accomplish those things. And that's like personal integrity. And that's also like living with no regrets in some ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Regrets. God, that tattoo is so huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I would say is like, don't let the regrets slow you down. Going back to your, if I was to talk to my younger self, I'd probably say don't let the regrets slow you down, and make something of it.
Yeah.
Transform the word regrets. Because that I feel like that's what my whole life has been, is a sense of like alchemy with words of, or sorry, alchemy with of mindset. What I mean by that is when I notice that my current mindset is not serving me, I actively look for new ways to transform that.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's not saying like I'm going to dismantle what I'm using. I'm literally taking it and putting it aside or like reconstructing it, knowing that all the raw parts are still there and I just need to reconfigure it so that I can tackle this next problem.
Two things. One, I heard somebody talk about how if you're speaking to me like 3 years later and I sound the same, I haven't grown. And that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So like each year you should be like, I shouldn't be in the same spot. And I shouldn't be talking to you about the same things because I should have learned and grown something from there.
Mm-hmm.
And two, talking about mistakes. Selma Hayek, I just saw talk about, she was like, those are my mistakes. I live with them and I'm accountable for them. You can't take my mistakes away from me.
Ooh.
So make your mistakes.
Great ownership.
Yeah, I was like, I haven't heard too many people talk about the accountability of their mistakes. I hear like, oh, fail all the time. But
right.
Selma Hayek was really like, I'm excited for like my mistakes. Like, I understand what I did, but those are mine.
Oh,
and I was like, okay.
So ownership.
For your mistakes.
Yeah.
Make them.
Yeah. But also, like, no one forced me to do any of those.
Exactly.
Things. That's awesome.
Exactly. And I think that's her way of living with herself. Mm. You know, be like, I know what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hurt me with that. That's that Eminem.
Yeah.
8 Mile, like, last battle. Like, I'm going to air out everything about me that you could possibly say.
So you have no ammunition against me.
You can't hurt me. And, like, your vulnerability sometimes is, like, your armor in that way. You know, I've been trying to find that with my music.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask you also, I'm flipping it on you.
Oh, flipping it on me. I do.
Who do you think most people or yourself, you can make this personal.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we seek validation from most?
Who do I seek validation from the most? Well, I mean, that's easy. David Morales.
Yeah. I still don't approve. Yeah, he's got some work to do.
I do. I truly do. Who do I, you know?
But Active Poet loves you.
Oh, thank you. Ooh, end the podcast right here.
Yeah.
No, I, man, that's a hard question. And I'm, you know, I'm always willing to be vulnerable. So no one.
Tossie is just perfect, y'all.
Hey, I didn't say I was perfect. I just said I didn't seek validation.
When it comes to validation, not this guy.
No, okay. So I'll be okay. So the real honest truth is, there isn't a singular person.
Of course
not. I think what happens is I get really interested in something, get really interested in a topic or a activity, craft, whatever, and I get hyper fixated on that. And I learn as much as I can. And then I try to produce something from that knowledge. And oftentimes, I will, like, if I post something, for instance, like the the engagement from that doesn't really move the needle in any which way.
Of course.
Like, okay, it's just, it's there, right? So, like, move on. But it's more like I don't seek it, but I rejoice in the validation when it I get it, I guess. Because it surprises me.
100 likes. Oh.
What? No way. Yeah, or like, you know, DMs or like a message. You know, I think I posted one, like a photo from a series recently. And one of the responses was like, oh, this really got me into, or this convinced me to go to this event next year.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, you know, there's that part of me that's like a little skeptical. Like, is this sarcastic? But they ended it with a smiley face. So I don't know, you know.
So could it be?
It couldn't be. Yeah. But, you know, my intention when I did that series was to create a sense of you're there.
Mm.
And that's why I chose the lens that I did, right? And that's why I engaged the environment in the way that I did and how I posted the series in the way that I did. So I guess in some sense, like, getting that comment was validation of, like, that storytelling that I wanted to try. And I was like, that's cool. But I don't know if I was actively seeking that from any one person. Because, like, how hard is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God, I really want, like, you know, Greg Williams of Greg Williams Photography, who's, like, he photographs candid photos at, like, Cannes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so celebrities. I really want him to, like, steam and stuff. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yet. But
it's never going to happen yet. That needs to be a shirt.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Keep it simple.
Stupid.
No.
Start.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because, again, I would say my family was probably the biggest one in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But I'm literally 20 years away from my 20s, right? So that X factor that we talk about, time, I think time along with other stuff, right? Time, reflection, regrets, life experience, all of that has created the mindset that I'm not actively seeking validation. So is that possible for someone who's younger and earlier in their career? That's up to that person.
Mm.
I don't know. Time is your again, your X factor. Yeah. Short amount of time, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. What about you?
What about me?
Are you actively is there someone or some people that you have actively sought out validation?
I think still to this day, if I think of who I want validation from, it's, mm-hmm. you know, the artists in my community, you know, people within, you know, my goal is always just like to compete at the highest level, period. You know, I want to create with the best creators, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's the same aspect of like, kind of like dodgeball or like pick up basketball. It's like, I want to be picked mm-hmm. for the best team. You know, I want to be that, you know?
Draft.
Exactly. I want to be that. I want to be somebody's first choice. And I know I am some people's first choice, which feels amazing. And I'm not saying that's not enough, but I just want to be more people's first choice mm-hmm, when it comes mm-hmm. to the casting pool and stuff. So that's something I'm actively, you know, working on. And I think what comes with that is just training and just trusting my instrument more, so mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be somebody's,
because they know exactly what you are able to like,
and just not taking it too personally when I'm not somebody's first choice for that project or that thing, you know. I think just people in my community. I don't think I ever really needed validation amongst my family. Like, my sister's been super supportive early on. She's mm-hmm. the reason I got into music. And my mom's been like super supportive with all my acting journeys. Like, she keeps all my playbills and stuff like that.
Love that.
And like spent money on acting classes early on when we got ripped off from like a stand at the mall where it was like,
hey, I remember those. That was a scam, huh?
It was a scam. I got ripped off.
I remember those guys.
I took the class, and shout out my mom for like, you know, spending money on the classes and all, like
taking that leap
on me and, you know, being an artist. But I definitely think now that it's just the people in the community.
Yeah.
But I hope people out there, the people you are not seeking validation from are the strangers on the internet. Cause like,
oh yeah.
Like, why are you caring about people who don't care about you? You know,
who don't know you like that.
Yeah. Like, I do care about what my friends think, but at the same time, if you don't support my choices and it's something I really want to do,
mm-hmm.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
What you think, Tossie.
You're on your own journey.
Exactly. And like, the only thing I would hope for, rather than seek validation, is for you to understand later on. Yeah, be like, yeah, yeah. I get it.
Yes.
I don't think I'd do it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You just triggered something, the word understand. I think that's what I look for. Mm-hmm. I don't look for validation. I look for understanding.
Yeah.
Because that's how much I can offer someone. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to a point where I can understand you.
Yeah.
And that's how I approach people problems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's great. Because on tangent, I did a play at Santa Clara Players.
You did a play?
Yeah, once in a lifetime.
Oh, nice.
And this place had like 20 seats. The theater's still going, right? Anyway, 3-person play. I played a catfish that plays the banjo.
Yes, you did.
I did. I had spats on, I had a great hat on, tux, and my parents happened to be visiting from Samoa that time period. So that's the only play they've ever seen me in. That was really early in my journey. Mm. I think that must have been my like third play I ever did.
Mm.
And at the end of it, my dad says, "I understand now."
Aw.
Yeah. And yeah. And this was after watching like this ridiculous play, which is great. It had a good story. But, you know, seeing like the elderly citizens who came to see it, you know, like, "Oh, good job, young man. And good play. Yeah, it's just for my dad to say, "Oh, I understand now." And for my mom to be like giddy about all these older people who I think my mom is their age now, right? Like, yeah. To see kind of like, "Oh, my son entertained these folks."
Yeah.
I think that was a huge moment. And I don't know if it wasn't really validation, right? Because I don't know what I was looking for. Or I didn't have that word. It's that understanding. I just want you guys to understand why I decided to do this.
Yeah.
Back to the why.
Man, that's beautiful. I think there's a lot of times where like family, not by bad intentions or ill intentions, mm-hmm. like deter people, steer people away.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use bigger words.
Deter.
Deter. That's the word.
It's close.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Deter.
That's where we're here.
Deter.
Regrets.
Yeah, regrets. Are going to like steer their kids away, family members away from doing stuff because they don't understand it. And like part of me, the crazy person I am, is like I don't mind being understood, like misunderstood.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes when people are like, "Oh, you're going to burn out," I'm like, "Oh, I chase the burnout. Like, I want to see how far I can go." Like,
yeah.
And when I'm like talking about discipline for some people, I'm like waking up at 5 a.m. They're like, "You're crazy. Don't you like to sleep in?" I was like, "Of course, but I don't know how long I have on this life. And there's so much I want to do." And they're like, "What? You got to do that sometimes." I'm like, "No, I don't. And I don't want to." You know, they're like, "You don't make any sense." But I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out for me.
Yeah.
Yo, whatever you think your life is, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do me over here.
Right.
But when I was talking about family at the same time, I know so many instances where family doesn't understand until they, you know, go to it and they see other people who are enjoying it.
Yeah, that's huge.
Because I think of social media. I think of our boy Steven.
Yeah.
You know, his mom didn't like him doing all the stuff he's doing.
Why you say bad words?
Yeah, why exactly? Yeah, you know exactly that. But she still doesn't like it. But she understands it and she's like, "Hey, people love it. Mm-hmm. So why would I get in the way of what people love?" And I've seen so many creatives start something and I'm like, "Oh, I can't wait to see where this goes."
Yeah.
And they stop because I know they didn't get that recognition.
Right.
That validation they were hoping for early on.
That's hard.
Yeah, I have a homie who like just started making content and he's been making it with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his girlfriend is getting way more followers than he has.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like doing his own stuff because he's funny. I went to college with him.
Okay.
And just recently I saw him make a video and it got like 200,000 views. And I'm like, "Yes, thank you." I'm like, "Thank you for like, you knew you had something."
Yeah.
It just hasn't stuck with enough people yet.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what it takes.
Wow. Way to push.
Keep pushing, you know? And I hope that doesn't go to his head. But if it does, like, I hope regardless, the key for validation is keep pushing, you know, keep going through it, you know.
Keep pushing.
Is that Bleeding Love that you just
remixed to keep pushing? I flipped it around so that, you know, we don't get the
copyright.
The copyright on that.
Yeah. Please don't. Leona Lewis. On that same tangent, I had a friend early on in my acting career. I was working at Whole Foods with this guy, mm-hmm. and he was like, I'm a filmmaker. And I was like, really? I'm an actor. And we looked at each other, and it was like, dynamic duo. Yeah. Like, and he always had written short films. And he was like, I want to do a bunch of stuff. And I was like, let's do it. You know, I want to get on the films one day. And we shot a whole bunch of stuff, and none of it ever came out. Because he wanted to be the same as Quentin Tarantino, for like everything he drops is gonna be fire,
no.
well respected. And I was like, it's not going to be. And plus, I need stuff for my reel, and I want to show my friends and family that I'm working. And I remember eventually we shot one music video together, and that took longer than I wanted it to drop. And then as soon as that dropped, I was just like, you know what, I can't work with this guy again, because I at least want to practice failing and like putting myself out there, because
what your reps in.
You actually don't know what like the result or like the validation is going to feel like, whether you receive it or you don't, for your art, if you never put it out.
Yeah.
So
it sounded like this person was afraid of the, what could, or what's the word I'm looking for? We were talking about it the other day. Like, I'd rather, wow, I'm going to butcher it. Never mind. Keep pushing.
I know this person, and I get it. They had like a lot of, they were in their own way. And like, I like their work. That's why I chose to work with them. But I know a lot of people in that film society weren't like putting them on the highest regard. So I think that person was trying to impress just the colleagues and not thinking about like, why do you want to make this? Did you enjoy it? And that's like all that matters. Do you get your own replay value?
Yeah.
Like how you and I sometimes rewatch our self tapes and like I re-listen to my music. Like,
yeah. Listen, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, I was in a funk. And
What'd you do?
I pulled up one of my videos where I'm literally, it's not even the A camera that I was, it was the B iPhone camera that was like, I don't even know why I shot it, but I literally just put it on loop and I just watched myself dance.
Yeah, you did.
To some Dusty Springfield. And it brought me so much joy, because one, I was able to watch it removed from that moment. Two, I was able to see, I was able to surprise myself with my personal rhythm of not the dance, but the creative process. Because it's online now, but if you all watch it, every 3 or 4 seconds I come up with something new, and I wasn't even thinking about it, you know what I mean? So like, that was for me like, oh, that's the result of trying stuff, and my brain cataloging that, and like, we'll find a place.
Yeah,
you know, it's a busy Amazon warehouse in my brain of that. Like collections of moves and things I've seen, and you know, like I juggled in one of it.
I love it.
Spoiler alert.
Tossy can juggle. I can also juggle.
That's yeah.
Random.
You got to learn
skill
it.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, watching those self tapes, it's not as narcissistic as it sounds. Like, to get joy from yourself, it's like you're getting joy from the like, the process of it, or like the art form.
Well,
like,
there was one. I'm gonna talk about you for a second. There was one that you posted. You were listening to your intro, to your voiceover, and you cracked yourself up, which cracked me up, because I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And you want to share that like ridiculousness of that moment, but also like, what's one of the biggest excuses that you've heard when people are like, I want to do voiceovers, but
don't have the equipment?
Keep going.
Oh, I know what you said. Yeah. Sorry. Let me get the second. I don't like my voice.
Yes, I don't like the sound of my voice. Well, how are you going to get over that if you don't listen back to it and realize and analyze it in a way that's like...
This is why I think acting has stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing for music and the same thing for art, period. It's like there will always in acting be a role for you, no matter what age you are, what ethnicity you are, just like your voice. There is a space for your voice everywhere. We need a diverse group of voices. I don't care if you have a smoker's voice and that's
we'll find you a spot.
We'll find you a spot, you know, whatever.
To be or not to be.
That is the question. That's what we're going to do, you know. Whatever your like instrument is, number one, own it.
Yeah.
Stop caring what other people say about it unless they're going to be like, you know what I could see your voice in? Listen to that. Be like, okay, maybe that's the direction I go.
Here's the thing. People get that all the time, but don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Or oh, you like, sound like Robert De Niro.
Or they look at it like negative, be like, oh, I'm not my own person. I'm Robert De Niro. Be like, okay, well, what if they want Robert De Niro in a video game?
For real. Like, oh, the likeness. Yeah. The
likeness. Because I know people do likeness of like Arnold all the time.
Impersonations.
Like,
yeah.
Of course. That's a thing. Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Oof. I know. Validations is it's a weird topic. It's an icky one.
It is an icky. Yeah, that's a good one. We should have a collection of ick topics. Ick. Because it is icky because it makes you self-reflect. Like, what is it that I need? Or, like, what am I seeking? And why am I seeking that? And these are all, like, I think as an artist, these are all things that you should be investigating anyway. You don't have to investigate it with other people. It could be a private journey. Or, you know, if you think it would help to be in a writer's group or a collection of people that are trying to achieve something, bring it up.
Yeah, if y'all care to share and want to share below, comment, let us know where you seek validation, where it comes from, or what your why is, what your what is. Please share with us. We'd love to hear. We'd love to talk to y'all. I am David Morales. You could find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And I'm Tossie Alabastro. You could find me everywhere at Tossie Alabastro. And this has been
Art Time Job. Reminding you to make time for your art and that art saves the world. Every now and then we do that.
Yeah, one. I like that. Yeah, let me validate your choice here.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
Art saves the world. Art saves the world.
A-R-T and I got time. Here we know I got that time. Put it on my steak.
Butter. Great choices. I see what you do with time. You flip time to like the time, but also like the herb time, and I really enjoyed it.
Delicious.
Yeah. Tasty. We're seasoned artists, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Don't hire bland artists. Hire seasoned artists.
Seasoned. And if they don't have the work, let's get them seasoned quick.
Yeah.
Quick. Man, we need to do articulation exercises before we talk.
Yeah.
At least for me. I'm speaking for myself.
No. This is good.
It's good. Thank y'all for listening or watching.
That's ridiculous.